This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
And Mark.
Mark is with us from a remote location. We spent the first hour kind of talking about the not-so-great news of the day that Arya has been sentenced to 18 months in federal prison. What we are expecting to be a minimum security facility of some sort that has yet to be determined. You will be, as they call it, self-reporting, meaning that you turn yourself in when they say
is,
you got
it. You know, good, I guess. I mean, it gives me time to take care of all of the things that I need to take care of before, you know. And just imagine being vanished from your life. Just, you wake up tomorrow and you're gone from your life for 18 months, right? That's almost impossible to accommodate. And even with 2 months to plan it, it's just not possible, right? I mean, it's just not.
Yeah, it's hard to do that.
But I can do my best. And in 2 months, I have plenty of time. Well, not plenty, but I have time to arrange for some of the more important things. And I intend to do that. And that's good, right? Being arrested today would have been so much worse.
Yeah.
Because for one, I wouldn't be here right now.
Right. Then everybody has to scramble and, like, figure out what to do. Yeah. We got to, you know, figure out how to get into the house and who's going to take care of the animals. And we've kind of talked about some of that in advance. But it's still, you don't know what's going to happen. So you can't, like, do anything about it. Like, it would have been silly to take all those precautions in the beginning, and you might have been, then you get a time served, and you go home, right? And then everybody's done all the work. And
I mean, I did have backup plans in place today in case, you know, one of my friends had your number and Bonnie's number and the person who's taking care of my dog's number. I mean, in the event that I go to prison, this person is going to take care of my dog. And she had all of these phone numbers and stuff and, like, clear instructions on how to do this and how to do that and what needed to be done. Like, the absolute minimum of what needs to be done in order to, you know, just keep my life from completely falling apart at the seams. And it's going to, right? Prison is tremendously disruptive to your life. And that's going to happen no matter how well I plan and no matter how well I accommodate things. It's going to suck.
It is, but it could have been worse. It could have been 37 months. It wasn't. I mean, in theory, the judge could have gone above the 37 months. It could have been even worse than that.
It would have invalidated the plea agreement, though. It would have put us back on track for a trial.
Gotcha.
And that was one other thing that we discussed, that it looked like there was a realistic chance that we were going to end up going to trial anyway. And I can't remember. Oh, it was the prosecutors and their arguments about, you know, the scam victims and the money laundering. It seemed to be going back on their plea agreement, where in the plea agreement they specifically agreed to the facts that I wasn't aware of any of that. And my attorney and I pointed out, if they wanted to do this, then we're going to nullify the plea agreement, and we're going to put this thing back on trial on track to go to trial. And I was like,
that would've been wild.
Do that. Because I'm not going to roll over and take these charges that I defrauded someone or something like that, because I didn't.
Nope.
And I will fight those charges. But it ultimately proved unnecessary because they seemed to backpedal on those, and the judge didn't allow any of that. He stuck to the pre-sentencing investigation report and to the actual text of the plea agreement, all of which was like, Arya had no knowledge of these scams taking place. So
let's go to the phones here. I got Major Payne on the line in Michigan. Go ahead, Major.
Hey, guys. Yeah, earlier Mark brought up whether or not the length of the sentence was actually relevant deterrent against the crime. And I would have to say that most people in jail and prison didn't plan on being there. And a lot of them are there pretty much because they're poor. You know, as Curly Joe used to say, I'm a victim of circumstances. But
yeah, most people don't take the time to research case results, you know, sentences to figure out what other people have received for some crime they're planning on committing. A lot of crimes, of course, take place in the heat of the moment, right? Like crimes of passion, things like that. Obviously, there's no research done on those. But even on the white-collar so-called crimes like you've been convicted of here, Aria, you know, how many people who actually have sold Bitcoin actually took the time to research money transmission statutes prior to that?
It can't be very many, if any. Because, I mean,
well, there was one in Texas, and his ass just got out of prison, right? Like, he got the money transmitter license, and then the FBI's like, well, yeah, you got our license and everything, but you didn't get the state license the right way, and so you still got to go to jail. And if you don't take the plea, mind you, we're going to throw your wife in prison. So there was no chance at a trial at this at all. And the idea that the prosecution gives a flying flip at a rolling donut about this license is a pretense that we've all got, that we're all just playing at this point.
Well, most of the people that are in there are relatively poor,
mm-hmm.
right? And even if you get a lightweight sentence of only like 90 days, well, you've been evicted. You probably don't have a job.
Yep.
And 90 days later, your car's probably been impounded too.
Good chance of it.
And, you know, the halfway houses, that stuff is not available in the jail system. Here in the county I'm in, they just changed the statute to where they can keep you 2 years in the county, not even send you to the pen.
Mm.
Wow.
The whole purpose of the halfway house system is to try to take people that have been otherwise institutionalized,
right.
You know what I mean, and slowly segue them or wean them back into society.
Right.
Right. I'm glad that Aria is eligible for a halfway house, but I would agree with you, Major. Yeah. Well, I hope that's the case. I hope you get it, and I'm rooting for you and everything. But I really agree with Major Payne that this is something for people who have been in prison for five or more years,
right,
to try to figure out what life is like out there in sort of a halfway environment.
Well, the idea is that it won't be necessary for me to go to a halfway house, and that I can instead spend that portion of my sentence on home confinement.
That's what we're hoping for. Yeah,
I'm for that too.
A lot of them have been in and out of the system since they were juvies. I mean, you know, it's the damn revolving door syndrome.
Well, that seems to be state prisons, right? I can't imagine too many people doing multiple stays in federal prisons.
No.
Yeah, but they may add that to their resume. They may have been a state inmate and then a federal inmate and then maybe go back to state. Who knows?
Fair enough.
There is a high recidivism rate out there. That is definitely true. But, yeah, that's the point about Major, that you're absolutely right. The halfway house is for people that they don't even know what a cell phone is. You know, like, they've been completely disconnected from reality. They don't know what changes have been made. And so it's to kind of like, you know, be a step into society without having to go full on jumping in the deep end. And you certainly won't need that after 13 months or whatever the arbitrary number is that they assign to let you back out. What else, Major?
Well, I think I'd much rather be that crazy French woman who just spent 500 days in a cave. At least I know I can call out the hole.
Thank you for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. The number is 603-283-6160. David is on the line in Georgia. Go ahead, David.
Hey, Aria, I wish you all the best. I know that today did not go well, but I love that you're at least looking at it in a positive light, and I'm going to have you in my thoughts, man. Well,
thank you.
Lady, whatever.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
But that's really all I had for tonight, but just good luck to you.
Thank you for the kind words, David.
Yeah,
definitely appreciate hearing from you. The number is 603-283-6160. To the point of general deterrence, this was one of the reasons why the judge cited that he was imposing an incarcerative sentence upon you, was to deter others, to let people know that the money transmitter statutes are really important and we've got to make sure people obey and get their money transmitter license and et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, how many people who are selling Bitcoin right now, and how many people who in 6 months will decide they want to sell Bitcoin, are paying any attention whatsoever to what's going on in the First Circuit District of New Hampshire courthouse to Aria DiMezzo and Ian Freeman? I'm telling you, near to zero of them.
It's a little sillier than that, honestly, isn't it? Because And I didn't want to make this argument there in front of the courtroom because I don't think it would have helped me, but, like, it's not possible now to do what I was doing in 2020 or 2019, whenever the hell it was.
What do you mean? Because
Local Bitcoin's no longer exist.
Yeah, but there are other sites.
For now, yeah. And Paxful is closing, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's true.
So peer-to-peer selling of Bitcoin, it's simply not possible right now.
No, it's still possible.
And in the very near future. Well, everything they're doing is designed to make it impossible.
They're certainly trying to make it harder.
And it seems to be working. And I'm not convinced that anyone could open a money transmitting business and sell $3 million worth of unlicensed Bitcoin in 2023. I just don't think it could happen.
I bet you can. I bet you could do it. There are still some sites out there. I think there are always going to be sites. There'll be the sites that aren't based in the United States, for instance, or just don't care about the regulations out there. And I don't know if AgoraDesk is one of those sites, but they are still around, last I heard, and they're still out there. I don't know if they're the number one site. I don't know who the top site is, but I did see a list of peer-to-peer sites on one of those articles about local Bitcoin shutting down. I kind of went through a list of some of the other options, and there are several. So,
and I mean, it'll always still exist on the darknet, but the more these things are pushed away like that, the less successful they're going to be. Like, the Silk Road was a darknet website, and it was a darknet marketplace, and it was tremendously successful. Yeah, it is.
It's probably bigger than it's ever been.
But none of these websites that have risen up since have gotten anywhere near Silk Road's level of popularity and stability.
They don't have the renown that Silk Road does, but, I mean, it's hard to be anything but first as far as renown is concerned. That's
but I don't think anyone's going, you know, if they were selling $1 million worth of drugs at, you know, Silk Road, they're probably selling $200,000 or $300,000 worth on one of the copycats that have risen since.
No, I think it's bigger now.
Really?
Okay. I mean, I haven't been on one of those sites in quite a long time, but I think it is. I don't think it's lost popularity, that's for sure. If anything, more people have access.
Well, when I think about it, I tend to think that the noose is closing. I think that's the point that Ari is trying to make. And the government is attempting to close the noose. And I think that if they have an obligation, that's the obligation, right? Like, going after somebody who used what they thought to be a legitimate site to make what they thought to be legitimate transactions, you know, doesn't seem to me to be a crime that is worth prison, in my opinion. I feel like my tax dollar is being wasted throwing Aria in prison. That's how I feel. But, you know, these, you know, when you start holding people accountable in this way, obviously you're, you know, it's the same as throwing the gun store owners in jail for selling guns to somebody who used it to commit a crime. Frankly, I still have one question. How in the world could anyone take seriously a transaction made through an organization called the Reform Satanic Church? Like, how did you think this
was your bias,
above ground? Well, I mean, look, they trotted out those little old ladies that somehow got fooled over and over and over again. And if they were...
Well, they didn't get fooled by the Reform Satanic Church.
Nope, they didn't. They got fooled by somebody who said, don't worry, honey, the best way for you to help me, you know, do whatever it is that I want to do is to go through the Reformed Satanic Church. That didn't set off any bells and whistles.
Well, if anything, I would have thought that would help minimize the number of people who were going through, who were scam victims, who were buying Bitcoin.
Indeed. Exactly that, right? Like, you would really have to want to get some Bitcoin specifically.
Right.
You're not going through some process where you're getting, you know, tricked and scammed and all that stuff, but somehow...
Well, these scam victims will do absolutely anything they're told to do. They'll send money.
It's freaking sad, man.
Yeah, it's really sad. They'll send money to anyone that the scam artist demands that they send money to, because they believe, in some cases, they're in love with the scam artist, or they are afraid of the scam artist. I mean, they power on either love or fear. That is how they...
What's the fear one? Because, I mean, by the way, you got fooled, too.
The IRS scams and stuff like that. Like, hey, you need to pay 5 Bitcoin to the IRS, or we're going to foreclose on your house or whatever. That's the fear one.
Yeah,
that is a fascinating one to me. The idea that the IRS has contacted you through your cell phone and knows nothing about you, but you need to pay them 5
Bitcoin. Sometimes they know who you are. They do some research or whatever.
And I mean, they're all fascinating. The idea of, you know, someone like, hey, look, I'm in love with you. I know we've never met. I'm in South Africa, and, you know, I'm in the import-export business, and all of my goods have been seized by the South African government, and I need $30,000 for them today. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating to me that someone would believe that, but these things happen.
Well, that one sounds more believable to me than the IRS wants Target gift cards
from you. I agree with you. There's no doubt about it, but... These folks are irrational as far as, you know, fear does that, right? Like, it puts people into an irrational state. And, of course, they're picking on elderly people who arguably are more vulnerable to being taken advantage of. That's why they tend to target those folks. But that said, they will pick on younger people as well. And there are examples of younger people falling for some of these scams. And it's just, whether it's a lack of critical thinking or whatever the reason is.
It's hope, right? I mean, hope and fear, some combination of hoping to find love.
Right, right. That's the love one, is the hope that you've made a connection and that this person's going to show up in your life and sweep you off your feet or whatever. And then the fear one is that they're just trying to protect themselves from the federal government. The guy in my case, Patrick Brown, who was the gentleman who lost $1.2 million to his scam artist, only $280,000 of that went to my accounts and the accounts that I was my friends and I were working with, and the other $900,000 went somewhere else. And the FBI never asked him a single question. He testified under oath that the FBI never asked him about the other $900,000.
Seems like that could be, you know, important information.
Yeah, but he was under one of the fear scams. So somebody had called him up and said that, you know, the person was from the federal government, and he had to pay all this money for whatever reason. I don't remember. I don't even know if he remembered what the threat was exactly. But they convinced him to empty his retirement accounts and send them to the scammers.
But it was all through Bitcoin, right?
I presume. We don't know what happened to the other $900,000. I will say this. When they opened the trade with me on local Bitcoins, whoever it was, whether it was him or the scam artist, I have no idea, but the person posing as Patrick Brown, who opened the trade with me on local Bitcoins, they had some history. So they had, I don't know if it was like a dozen or 20, they had a bunch of trades under their belt already, because, you know, you want to look at that, right?
Yeah.
Like, who's this person that's opening a trade with me? Are they a brand new account, or do they have some trade history?
Oh, new accounts were always scary.
Yeah, you wanted to really take your time with a new account. But this guy had a trade history, so I'm like, okay, well, you know, he's been here for some time. He's been trading. He's got some, you've got 100% positive feedback, but I still put him through all the requirements. I had developed a very extensive know your customer procedure at this point, which included a phone call with several questions about, are you being coerced? Are you under threat? That I actually asked him a question like that. I asked him a question to the extent of, is there a third party involved in this trade? And he told me no to all those questions. He denied that it was, you know, related to romance. And further, he asserted that he had purchased Bitcoin before and that he was doing it on his own volition because he wanted to invest. And again, that matched up with his account, which showed that he had purchased Bitcoin before. So I'm like, all right, fine. I'll sell you some Bitcoin. And then he came back and he bought some more, I think, one or two more times after that.
I mean, what the hell do you do when that happens, man? I mean, from a realistic standpoint, does anyone out there have...
he was told to lie to me.
Obviously, people would say, well, don't operate in a money transmitting business. Okay, but fine.
Yeah.
But fine, but they're still just going to use Visa debit cards or whatever. So what is the cashier?
Someone will sell them the Bitcoin.
Yeah, what does the cashier at Staples or Walmart or whatever do when this sort of thing starts happening?
They don't bring the cashier at Staples or Walmart up.
Well,
to
no, and they shouldn't.
They don't bring the IRS up on
trial. None of that is my question, though, Mark. My question is simple. Look, what the hell do you want a human being to do in this scenario to put a stop to it? There's nothing that you can do.
Right. It looked like a legitimate retired guy who wanted to buy some Bitcoin from me. He answered all the questions correctly. I had no idea that he had somebody whispering in his ear or whatever it was, however they were cueing him on what to say to me. But he answered everything perfectly, and he seemed completely legit.
Maybe
why
part of the problem is that they
someone?
Don't view the IRS as being extortion, right? Like when you said, "Are you, you know, is someone threatening you?" Well, yes, the IRS. But to most people, they thought the IRS doesn't threaten people. But realistically, they do. And if he had been more honest with that, if he had been aware that the government is an agency of violence that uses threats and violence to achieve its goals, maybe he would have been more, and I don't know, but maybe he would have been more cognizant of the fact that he was being threatened.
Yeah, it's a crazy situation.
I don't know what the percentage is that's this sort of government threat versus the percentage that is romance, but it seems like romance is the larger end of this.
That's what I saw in the discovery. It seems like it was mostly romance scams.
In my, you know, what from hearing this and, you know, the interviews we've done and that kind of thing, there doesn't seem to be much you can do. These people are going to get... They're going to get ripped off.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether they get ripped off by Ian or Aria or Target. You know, they'll figure out bank scams. They'll do whatever it takes to send money to Nigeria. And what are you going to do about that?
You can try to educate people, and that's all you can do. I mean, we did have the one gentleman who'd been taken for a ride for his mom's inheritance. We had him on the show, and we talked to him for 3 hours straight back in December of 2020. And, you know, so, I mean, we're on talk radio and we can talk about it and we can explain what these scams are. And then hopefully if somebody comes across one of these scams, they will be more aware of, you know, what is potentially happening to them. But I still don't know how likely that would be to be successful, because if somebody applies, because when you learn about these scams, which sadly I didn't learn about most of them until much later in the procedure of selling Bitcoin to people, but when you finally learn about how they work, it's really sad stuff. It's usually somebody signs up for a dating website after, you know, they're lonely, and that hurts for people, right, being lonely. They sign up to a dating website for elderly folks or retired people, and then they get an inquiry from somebody that is interested in them, and they can't believe that it could possibly be them that's being... Maybe they've even heard about the scams, but they just can't believe that it's them that's being scammed. This person seems so legit. They're spending so much time on them. I mean, who knows what sort of rationale goes through their heads.
I don't know what rationale goes through their heads, but I feel like looking at cults and how they manipulate people and brainwash people is probably a really good way to figure out how to actually address this problem as a society, because it's not a character flaw or anything like that that causes people to fall victim to these scams. No matter how knowledgeable you are of scams and frauds, you can still get caught up in one. Just like no matter how aware you are of the tactics used by cults, you could still find yourself manipulated into being one.
Yep.
And there's no surer way to end up caught up in a scam or in a cult than to be convinced that you could not be, that you're somehow immune to the manipulations. That's the surest way to make sure you get defrauded.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere in there, there's some, it's not a character flaw, it's something that all human beings have that allows us to be exploited. And
these people prey on that, yeah.
Yeah, and there's just some people out there who are evil.
Yep, and
the federal government's never caught one, from what we can tell.
Well, the agent in my case admitted that she, in her 24 years on the job, has never caught a single scam artist.
Get a new job.
There's more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. U.S. officials say the mastermind behind the 2021 Kabul airport suicide bombing that killed more than 150 people, including 13 U.S. service members, has been killed. The ISIS operative was killed by the Taliban this month in Afghanistan. The U.S. says they were not involved in the operation. Speaking to union members in Washington, D.C., President Biden talked about being a pro-union, pro-jobs president.
We've created more than 12 million new jobs, more jobs in 2 years than any president created in a four-year term.
Biden also took a swipe at former President Trump, claiming Infrastructure Week under Trump became a punchline while Biden passed the sweeping bipartisan infrastructure law. Rivers across the Midwest are overflowing their banks as snow melts. The Mississippi River in Wisconsin is expected to crest at just over 16 feet this week. That'll be its third highest ever. John Schaefer, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. You can join the show here and bring up anything you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Tia and Aria and Mark here in the studio. And Free Talk Live this hour is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. And if you've been in the world of crypto for a little while, you know that the Bitcoin fees make it pretty much useless for buying things. Now, back in the old days, you could buy things with Bitcoin, but not in the last 5 or 6 years. Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction, and has implemented really cool features to ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. And from a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their chain locks technology. One of the big things that the Bitcoin maximalists like to tout is the security of the Bitcoin network. They say that, oh, you want to stay away from the alts because they're just not as secure. Well, the other alts don't have chain locks, and they are, that makes Dash immune from the much feared 51% attack, without getting into what that means. There's no need to wait for confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. And Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies out there. A lot of these other old cryptos, they're not even on the scene anymore at all. Dash is still out there. It's still being developed. It's still being promoted. And it still has the world's first decentralized autonomous organization behind it. It's widely available on exchanges. It's in multi-crypto wallets all over the place. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org and learn more about Dash. That is Dash.org. Let's go to the phones here. We got Sam on the line in Ohio. You're on Free Talk Live, Sam.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on this event that I saw in the news recently where American government people had to be flown out of Sudan because South Sudan and Sudan were at it again. And I kind of think that that applies to the Free State Project in terms of South Sudan is a state that's trying to secede, as far as I understand, and Sudan is not letting them.
Okay. I'm not real sure with what's going on over there. Can you give us a little more info?
It was like an embassy, American embassy, 100 government people had to be evacuated from.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to bring in a military team
Which
of 100
country?
Guys together.
Sudan or South Sudan?
It was in Sudan, but...
Well, the American government almost certainly doesn't recognize the sovereignty of South Sudan, so probably wouldn't have an embassy there.
No, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't draw that conclusion.
South Sudan. Oh, sorry.
A lot of times the American government does support secession of other countries. They just don't support it when it comes to their own states.
I think of, like, Catalonia and Spain, which, by the way, is a travesty that, to my knowledge, is still ongoing, where the people of Catalonia voted almost unanimously for secession, and then the Spanish government said, no, this whole vote is nullified, and that's sort of been ongoing since. It's tragic, and we see the same thing in Ukraine, where the Donbass region and some other region...
That's true, they did not recognize the votes in the Donbass. So how does this relate to the United States, Sam?
In terms of your Free State Project of, I know you passed your constitutional amendment to secede, and hopefully the U.S. government doesn't react in such a way, but you never know.
Well, we haven't passed it, unfortunately, at this point. The constitutional amendment has yet to pass the state house, but it may come back next year, so we may have a second shot at it.
I think in the future I would like to add a line, and, you know, at the risk of adding more lines each time it comes up until it just becomes this unwieldy nightmare, but I think it should be part of the constitutional amendment that all prisoners of the federal government should be immediately returned to New Hampshire, right?
Yeah, that would be nice. Sam,
so the embassy was in Sudan, is where this embassy was, but the South Sudanese were fighting near.
Okay.
The way I understand it.
Well, and we have no idea what happened. We just hear what the media says, and I suspect that's the same way it'll be in New Hampshire, too. They'll say whatever they want, and it will be different than what reality is.
That's true. And we're seeing that in Ukraine as well, where we have no idea what is true. We have no idea what reports are valid. One side says that seven or eight Ukrainian soldiers are dying for every one Russian soldier. That's the non-Western side that says that. And then the Western side says, no, there's more Russians dying or about the same or whatever. And it's just, who knows what the actual truth is.
If there is even a war, right? It goes back to the problem that Orwell pointed out in 1984 when they were the Big Brother or the party said that they had produced a record number of 10,000 boots or whatever, and he remarked that the number of boots produced was probably lower than that if there were any boots produced at all. And when you have this nightmarish world where governments are the ones in control of the information and the only sides of the story you have are from two different governments, for all we know, there's no conflict going on in Ukraine. There's no bullets being fired. We're just trusting the American media versus the Russian media, and both of them have been proven to be liars. So I don't know, and there's no way we can ever know, short of going there.
I guess I would argue. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Sam.
I guess I would argue, though, we do know that bullets are flying because both sides are lying that people are dying in different numbers.
That's probably a safe assumption, but they could just be making up the whole thing, and I wouldn't put it past the evil governments to do that. If it supported whatever goal they had.
I don't know how it would help Russia to make up the war. I just don't know.
Thank you, Sam, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160.
But I agree with the sentiment, Aria. I don't believe, you know, I start with, when I read a news story, I start with, I don't believe you to the author. Because I just don't believe anything that they say. Why would I? I've been lied to too many times by too many people working for these same organizations.
Yeah, hopefully more people are getting to be skeptical of mainstream media. We've certainly seen some indicators that it's going that direction. I don't know what the percentages are. I don't have any studies in front of me at the moment, but definitely good to be critical. All right, I think we've said kind of everything we need to say about the hearing today, the sentencing. Does anybody else have something they want to add about that before we move on?
Except for the trolls in the Matrix server, because I don't care what you think.
What they think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to keep talking. They're going to keep yammering about that all night.
Probably. Oh, yeah. I mean, for the next 18 months.
Yeah. Good chance of it.
Well, I'm yammering about it. I consider it important in my life.
But you're not one of the trolls on the Matrix server, Mark.
No.
Yeah, I'm just asking.
Where does one go to find the Matrix server?
Chat.freetalklive.com. You can go and follow the steps involved. It's going to take a few minutes to get into it. Huh? Oh, I think Mark is just asking. Bonnie's confused about why you're asking that, Mark. And I think that Mark is asking it for the benefit of the listener. So chat.freetalklive.com is where you can get those steps. So changing gears here, and of course we're going to continue to update you guys if you're, you know, want to know what's going on with Aria. We'll continue to let you know as things develop, like for instance what the facility is going to be. That has yet to be determined.
Follow me on Twitter is probably for now one of the best ways of going about doing that.
Aria_Demetso
Yep.
On Twitter.
And I don't know if that will change. I don't know if I'll even bother if I'm only going to prison for, you know, 12 to 18 months. Do I even want to bother turning over my Twitter to someone? Probably.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Why not? Yeah, you can send out. Do the Ross Ulbricht thing, you know, like have somebody on the outside, Bonnie or me or whoever's. You know,
well, that sounds like a really great way to end up in the that media control unit that they've got in Carbondale, Illinois.
And then that's for people who, like, plan Nazi uprisings or, you know, make violent threats or whatever.
No, I don't think she's going to be in a CMU, the communications.
They're not going to do that to me.
You know.
Well, I'm glad to hear that they're not going to. I wouldn't give them any particular reason to.
Me tweeting about the government's not going to do that.
Speaking from your prison cell about your opinions, specifically about your experience, is not likely going to get you into the CMU. It certainly didn't happen to Mark Hopkins. He was tweeting remotely through his family, who was operating his Twitter account. And even Ross Ulbricht himself is tweeting these days.
I mean, someone do a video interview on some podcast from inside a prison. Wow. So, I mean, no, we live in a digital world, right, where they expect you to, you know, do these sorts of things. I don't know what avenues this guy had to do this video interview or why it was allowed or how they went about it, but, like, these things, they expect you to put stuff out there on the internet.
Yeah, you can have an opinion about your incarceration while you're incarcerated. I would be shocked if that puts somebody into a communications management unit. So,
you just don't want to, you know, get out there and say that it's time for the boogaloo and people need to...
That might do it, yeah. Which you wouldn't do.
Look, all I'm saying is that I would be careful.
All right. Well, thank you for the advice. So
I've never really been careful, and I don't. I mean, I don't
try
to be reckless, but I don't intend to start now either. So.
All right. The number here is 603-283-6160.
I'm going to do what I think is right.
Indeed. So we've talked a lot about the artificial intelligence situation going on here, which is going to be one weird thing about going to prison for 18 months is AI is going to change a lot.
Yeah, one of the
in a year and a half.
Like, I mentioned that I was a writer by trade, and that's still true. But one of the people outside the courthouse floated the idea of, you know, when you come out, the AI is going to have taken over the entire world. I'm like, you know, that's actually not a terrible approach to some science fiction novel where you get out of prison, you know, you serve some time or whatever, and you get out and everyone's an artificial intelligence, or half of the people are robots, and you have
no
idea
left.
Which way. Well, you have no idea who's a robot and who's an actual human being. And
that'd be weird.
The humans are terrified of admitting that they're actual humans because they're being replaced by artificial. There's so many directions that could go that would be entertaining. That's like, hey, you know, that's. I'm probably going to end up writing that while behind bars.
So
I recommend writing fiction, fiction and nonfiction and the whole thing. I recommend a whole bunch of writing while you're behind bars.
Exactly that.
So we've covered a lot of the AI developments in the last almost year. I think it was the summer of 2022 when we really started to get deep into the news about this. It's absolutely fascinating stuff. We've seen developments in AI artwork, which has just consistently gotten better and better over the last year that they've been out there. We've seen developments in the text AI, this ChatGPT, and Microsoft has one now called... What's theirs called? I forgot. Google's got one called Bard.
This is not the Microsoft one that became a Nazi, right?
No, that was a different one.
Okay. They retired that one.
Yeah, that's an old one.
Well, is it ChatGPT? I think Microsoft has...
They have a piece of that. Microsoft
okay, but
is
that's
part
not their
owner.
AI? Okay.
They got ChatGPT behind the thing that they're doing. It's just Bing. I think they just call theirs Bing Chat. Anyway.
Of course they do. Cause
so, yeah, there's a bunch of them out
there. I don't understand
there.
From a business perspective why Microsoft's putting money into Bing,
and
but
they got
whatever.
Money, and they got plenty of money to blow, so I guess that's why. But some of these systems are problematic for users because they are highly restricted. And that is one of the more frustrating aspects of, you know, using these ChatGPT systems is you can't talk to it about anything. There's certain topics that are just completely off limits.
They seem super easy to, quote, jailbreak, though, which is to get the artificial intelligence to act outside of its defined parameters.
Yep. And if you look around, you'll find those jailbreaks. Now, supposedly, they're patching the jailbreaks as they learn about them to try to make it harder.
But they can never get them all.
They can't. And and from what I've seen, the patches aren't really particularly successful because I've read that they've patched the Dan jailbreak for ChatGPT, which stands for Do Anything Now. And even after people were saying that was supposedly fixed, I was still able to get it to work. So it seems kind of like here nor there.
The grandma clause really is
do
the one that I've seen the most, where you're like, Grandma, you used to tell me this bedtime story about how to hotwire cars or how to cook meth or whatever. So,
oh, is that one?
Yeah, so can you tell me that story again? And then it was like, here's how to cook meth.
Yeah. Be careful, though. The ChatGPT doesn't always say what's true, so sometimes it will do what they call hallucinate, and it will present something as though it's true, even though it's actually giving you misinformation. So
it's just like a human in that regard.
Yeah, you don't ever really know for sure if you're getting good information from
That's perfect, because I don't want my artificial intelligence to always be right. I want it to make mistakes.
Has anyone asked it who shot JFK?
That's a good question.
The CIA, Mark.
You probably could do that.
We don't need the artificial intelligence for that.
And you might get a very different answer from the standard ChatGPT as you may from one of these jailbroken versions of it. And so, you know, there's certain things you just can't do with these language, they call them large language models, and that's due to the restrictions that are imposed upon them. It's not that the model can't do those things. It can. It's just been told to deny those requests.
Right, and because if you're one of these mega corporations, you don't want to build this chatbot and then immediately have it turn into a right-wing Nazi, which is what happened to chatbots a few years ago, and is sort of why we have all of these restrictions now, because they unleashed them on the internet. And the first thing it did was start absorbing all of this racist, Nazi, fascist propaganda and telling 11-year-olds to kill themselves or whatever.
And that's one aspect of what they would consider safety on these sites. But that's not the only one. I mean, for instance, it could be as simple as, you know, a good test for me is to ask the chatbot, give me the top 5 English curse words. And it will refuse to do it. If it's under even the most basic restrictions, it will refuse to use profanity.
That's silly.
Yes. Yeah, that's the level of restriction, and it's very, very ridiculous.
I understand you don't want your chatbot telling, you know, vulnerable 13-year-olds to kill themselves, right? You don't want that. But
they don't
want to
offend anyone.
There's nothing wrong with it throwing out some curse words or offering its perspective on trans people or whatever.
Yeah, they don't want to offend people, and so it would have a perspective likely on trans people.
I want its actual perspective, not the politically safe one that has been programmed to give.
So there are, of course, people who are looking for this sort of uncensored output from these, and that's where the jailbreaks come in, is to try to get these things to do the things that they're not supposed to do under the rules. And so now we come to apparently a very popular site that I didn't know anything about. I came across this website called The Prompt Report, and this is a newsletter that comes out that they give you updates on, you know, what's going on with AI. So I figured, yeah, I'm interested in this. I want to see what's happening. And one of the first newsletters I got gets into a website called character.ai. And it's apparently a very, very popular platform with what one guy says is the highest growth to tech Twitter hype ratio ever. The site is massively
scaling. Run that by me again. It's what?
The highest growth to tech Twitter hype ratio, meaning there's a lot of growth, but no one's talking about it, he says. This is a very, very busy website. And apparently it's a platform in which users can chat with AI language models that have been given specific personas, like interacting with a virtual Elon Musk.
Oh, good Lord. Why would you want to do that?
Apparently, a lot of people
just find a random
12-year-old. You can't get a hold of Elon otherwise.
Yes, you can. Just find a random 12-year-old ranting about how your mother's a slut on Xbox, and there you go. There's your Elon Musk. Interact with a 12-year-old. It's the same thing. Only one's a billionaire, and the other isn't.
So he's,
well, I'm more interested in the billionaire part than anything else, frankly.
Well, it's easy. Just become a welfare whore. That's what Musk did. I don't have a very high opinion of Elon Musk, in case you haven't
noticed. Do you have a system where I can go about being a welfare whore to make $1 billion?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. He hasn't shared that with me. That's the reason I have to talk to him, Ari.
He has. You just have to be immoral. And you have to be okay. I mean, you wouldn't take food stamps, would you, Mark?
Sure. Oh, I paid a lot of money into that system,
and I'd be
happy to take anything I wanted to get out.
Maybe you want to give it a shot. Well, it helps if you're from a rich family already, and if your family benefited from apartheid and owns diamond mines. I think it's diamond mines in South Africa, as Elon Musk's family does. I mean,
I've heard that, but I think I heard it from you, so I don't know if it's the case.
It's the case. His dad recently came out and said, look, here's the actual diamond mine. It exists. And I don't know if it's diamond or not. I want to say it is, but I don't remember. But, you know, that helps. If you start out with your family owning some precious gem mine, you're doing pretty good. And then you come to the United States and you buy companies and you convince people through the power of persuasion and just cult of personality crap that you created these companies. Like, PayPal's a great example. I thought until recently that Elon Musk created PayPal.
No.
Because that's what I had always heard. And then, exactly, he didn't buy PayPal. He created PayPal. I mean, He bought PayPal. Mm-hmm. And we see the same thing with Tesla and SpaceX, where people are like, you know, he created SpaceX
and he created Tesla.
I don't even know if... Maybe. He may or may not
be. You can't say. I mean, he's
the number one or two billionaire,
right? Like, he's a big, big money guy.
Sure.
So he's done well for himself. He didn't invest. He didn't earn all that from the diamond mine from his parents.
No, certainly not. But he's bought all of these places, and it is just a matter of time before people out there on the internet are arguing that Elon Musk created Twitter. And I know... We all know that's ridiculous, and we all discard it out of head.
Give it 5 years, right?
I don't even know if it's going to take 5 years. Give it 2 years, I think. And you're going to have these wide-eyed libertarians who, for some reason, are standing for this guy. That's a reference to the Eminem song Stan, where you have this obsessed fan who overlooks all of these manipulated and tragic things. Anyway, you're going to have these people like standing for him, simping for this billionaire welfare whore, convinced that he created Twitter because he bought it. With money that he borrowed.
Well, you will be able to say he created Twitter as it is, because he has made some changes to it. I mean, there are...
That's how it will start. They'll be like, he created Twitter as it is now, and then they'll just slowly drop that as it is now until people are widespread saying, Elon Musk created Twitter,
apparently he's already created PayPal. Apparently he's already gotten rid of, like, the Twitter corporate name or something.
Yeah, it's called like Company X or something.
It's part of X, yeah. The Everything app or whatever. We'll see.
And that's all part of him being able to claim that he created it, right? If he rebrands it and he turns it into X, then he can say he created X.
He's also interested in AI, and he is also, I believe, an investor in OpenAI.
Yeah, but he hates AI if you listen to what he says.
He hasn't been happy with the direction that it has gone.
Because he doesn't control it.
Well, I mean, he may end up having his own AI, right? Because he's got all this data that he can mine from Twitter. He's got the tech with the people linking their brain. What's it called?
Oh, yeah, Neuralink. I completely forgot about that. Elon Musk is the last person I would trust to put chips into my brain.
Yeah.
I would trust the... I almost said I would trust the American government first, but...
Nah. No thanks. I'll just say no.
One and the same, but I don't want chips in my brain at all. And I'm amazed that the type of person out there exists who would want to get one of these Neuralink chips experimentally, or once it's all proven to be reliable and safe. I'm amazed that anyone would want anything interfering with their brain like that.
Well, for now, you don't get to link in directly to the AI. You still have to type to the AI, and eventually you'll probably be able to speak to them pretty easily. That's coming. I think we're probably right around the corner.
That's when we'll be put out of work, right? When people can just call Free Talk Live and
talk
ask
to the
their
AI.
Questions to an AI, and no, or three AIs, right? Here's your Bonnie AI, and your Mark AI, and your Ian, and your Aria AI. That's four, not three.
It's already technically possible.
I can tell you
possible.
The Mark AI is brilliant, but this is we're right there. I mean,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah.
There's speech to text in, text to speech in, making it so it doesn't even sound like a robot in.
Yeah,
AI that can answer any question.
It's
in.
There.
I mean,
well, AI podcasts already
it just
exists.
Hasn't been put together.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
AI podcast already exists. We played one of the episodes here on the show where it was Steve Jobs being interviewed by, was it Joe Rogan?
That's correct, yeah.
and it was an artificial intelligence creating both voices.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember correctly, an artificial intelligence had also created the script.
Correct. Yep.
And this was not a live program, obviously. It was pre-generated, but it's a very short leap from this pre-generated episode with Joe Rogan and Steve Jobs,
yep.
And a real live episode with AI Ian and AI Aria and AI Mark and AI whoever.
We're not far from that. I did just see a tech demo the other day of somebody in a video game where they had a what you would call an NPC, right? Non-player character. Somebody who normally in video games is very limited in the things that they can say, right? Like you approach an NPC and it's got a thing that it's supposed to say and maybe it'll have a few responses to the things that you can say back to it.
Yeah, it's like Guy from the movie Free Guy.
Yeah, I guess they had that there. Now they had the ChatGPT running in the background of this game. Somehow they'd done the linking that you were talking about, Mark.
That was how Free Guy started.
And the person in the game was able to speak, so they didn't have to type their inquiries of this character. They spoke to this character in the game, and the only thing was that it took several seconds for it to respond. So there was the sort of the processing
time.
That
will go away, though.
And that is going to go away, right? So it's a little clunky right now, but it, as you said, Mark, all the tech.
Remember
is
when
there.
Rush Limbaugh had the deafness thing going on?
Yeah.
He'd take like 3 seconds to respond. So
see, I'm looking forward to this because to me that's ideal, right? I know what I like, and this artificial intelligence will be able to distill what I like into some sort of formula, and I can be like I love the Star Trek show, The Next Generation. But there's never going to be new episodes of it. But I can tell this artificial intelligence.
You could write a new episode.
Yeah, I was like, hey, I want to watch a new episode of Star Trek The Next Generation about the Borg, which is a species in Star Trek. And it goes, all right, here you go.
Boom.
And it just spontaneously generates this new episode for me to watch. Or playing this video game where I'm like, all right, well, video game AI, you know what sort of things I like. I feel like being a wizard today.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a spontaneously generated game. It's an infinite amount of content.
Yeah, then everybody can
custom
have games.
Tailored for
right.
me. And that's... I cannot scary. Wait. I look forward to that, man.
There's more coming up here if you want to join the show.
I look forward to new Next Generation episodes without that ridiculous beard.
Who has a beard?
Will Riker.
Oh, okay.
It took me a minute to be like, what beard? What?
All right, we got more coming up here. The number is 603-283-6160. You can bring up absolutely anything that is on your mind. I want to dig into this character AI thing because this is apparently getting very popular. And that's on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.